Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Welcome, dear listeners, to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We are following the excellent broadcast of our dear brother, with the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. And we want to dive right in and talk about the sacred unity. You know, Imam Muhammad, he coined many phrases, but this particular one, he talked about the need for us to develop a philosophy for life in a sacred unity. And he said some real, I would say, excellent standards when he talked about the four essentials that we need to focus on: education, business and economic, culture, and governance. Those are, that's an outline that we can utilize to develop a philosophy for life. Now, Allah has invited us in the Quran in many, many places. He talks about our diversity, and he's created us different that we may get to know one another. He has also said to each is a goal to which he turns us. We have different parts to play, and invites us to strive as in a race towards all and to be competitive in our efforts to reach the good. And he says he will join us together. So we are looking for the fountain of abundance. This is language from the man. We were talking this morning earlier about how language can have such a power for us. We are looking for that fountain of abundance. And we may not know where it's at, but the Imam said in the same, but when we get there, we will recognize. We are traveling. We are on a mission. We are on a journey to get to the abundance of what Allah has for his human family. And we don't know how it's going to be and how it's going to look, how it's going to turn out. But when we get there, we will recognize. We will recognize. But we have to have unity. And the Imam said this sacred unity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the Quran in many places. That hold together by the rope that Allah stretches out for you. And so be not divided among yourself. So many, many verses in the Quran, and this is in Surah Ali Imran, verse 103. So, and in the same verse, I think it's 110, he says, you are the best community brought out for the good of humanity. You are the best community brought out for the human being. But for all of humanity, that the revelation Allah has revealed in the Quran, and people who have embraced it sincerely, as the Imam was talking in the lecture prior to our program, is the best. It is the best if Allah has preferred it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred Islam, the deen, for people who like the way of life, for people to make progress in the world. So we want to have some discussions on sacred unity and more than just talk about it, but ways to develop. We want to look at how we can develop the unity we need. So welcome to Preparing to Make It. In the land of plenty, I'm the host of Lacey Mbong, Michael Ali, with us, and I hope we have Professor Rabbani. I'm not sure we're supposed to be traveling. I have. Oh, Michael, did you see him in the queue?
No, sir.
Okay. He's not able to join us this morning. So, alhamdulillah, we will carry on. Inshallah. All right, Michael, any comments you'd like to make at this point?
Well, yes, assalamu alaikum to you and to the audience.
Alaikum salam.
This the development that we're in under the leadership and the educational method of Imam Wazni Muhammad. And we pray, Rahim Allah, that it's a process. We're really in the foundational movement of this process, and it's similar to the process, and it's like the process of the early community of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and the community in Medina in particular. And so it's important to see the value in structuring a philosophy connected with the guidance of God and the Prophet Muhammad's life example. And that's what we're being pointed to. There are sovereign nations and ethnic communities that have their philosophy. I thought about this. It's clear to me what the communist Chinese did and are doing to the Uyghur people, the Muslims there in China. They feel it necessary because, you know, their communism is not like the communism of Russia or the former Soviet Union. Communism is different. And the communism or social idea over the people, they have tweaked it. They've modified it. But in spite of that, a clear representation of the Islamic philosophy of life was in that Muslim community. They had their own business development. They had their places of worship and culture. And they were peacefully living that life. Now the communists say, "Well, you know, they were threats. They were threatening us." Well, the communist leadership knows the history of al-Islam. They knew how even the enemies of al-Islam had converted to Islam. The Mongol hordes eventually converted to al-Islam, right? In that vicinity, that area. So this idea of a philosophy of life is very important. And Imam Muhammad was doing more than just, you know, giving us a clearer perception of the Quranic guidance and a clearer idea, picture of Prophet Muhammad's life. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, and you know, when I was listening to some of our younger imams, and in particular one that was very close to the imam, you were very much aware of it. You conduct class with Imam Abdul Rahman. And he was talking about this topic. And he asked the audience to trust our young leaders, to trust the young leaders, and trust that they are becoming more educated, they are becoming more Quranic conscious. And, you know, I listened to his lectures and his question and answer series, and I hear in our young coming leaders, both male and female, great questions. They ask questions that are very thought-provoking and probing. And it makes you feel good to know that our young people have that type of perception. You know, and I heard Imam Muhammad say one time that our females, the female believers, will be some of the best persons to model his leadership. I use that terminology because he said they have that type of perception. the requirements of motherhood and being mothers and being teachers develop a special intuitive strength. And sometimes we find more of that in our sisters than we do in our brothers. But that's not to minimize the brothers. It's just that the requirements puts a bigger demand on the mothers. The prophet, peace be upon him, used the expression, paradise lies at the feet of the mother. She is going to be the first teacher that we will see that. But let's do that. Let's look at our youth and what they are doing and have more trust in them. And, you know, Imam Rashad said something else. He said when we talk a lot about Imam Muhammad said this, Imam Muhammad said that, he said they're not, some of them haven't even heard of Imam Muhammad. And I'm experiencing that in my own area. I have young people I'm working with. They're not that aware of Imam Muhammad. You know, I know he's on the YouTube now. We can easily point to that to maybe have them become familiar. But they are familiar with the Quran. They are familiar with Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are going to have to address our community, in the general community, more from what the Quran has said. And then in their understanding, you know, and I heard Imam Muhammad say this as well. He said that we should just reference, by the way, Imam Muhammad promoted this idea. And that's what we are talking about. That idea of the sacred unity is promoted by Allah in the Quran. But
that's right.
Highlighted by our imam. And that's where we should be thinking that this is not the imam's knowledge. He was only carrying out what Prophet Muhammad had brought, the Quran had brought, and what Prophet Muhammad's model led him to develop more. And I'm going to tell you this. When I listen to Imam Rashad, for instance, He is bringing more clarity on these concepts, more clarity as an independent thinker who studied under the imam and now is developing language and knowledge based on the Quran, the Sunnah, his experience as a young person in temporary society, which is where Methad schools of thought is developed based on the needs of the society. So we are seniors and pioneers in this community, but our future is coming up behind. So we have to put some attention to that. So, Micah, share some thoughts on that issue as a strategy.
Yes, this is very necessary for us to look at this. I'm in several of Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman's classes. In fact, I was almost late because I was in one of the classes that ends at 10 o'clock, and so you gave me a call, and I said, "Oh my goodness, it's time, you know, for me to be in the engineer seat." But anyway, we talked about, or he shared with us, and I'm going to put it in this language. Our coming to Al-Islam was very, very unique. And foundationally, in the Muslim worldwide community, there's a certain approach that has been codified, you know, structured. And Imam Muhammad is like one of the big Christian doctors of Christianity, or the big rabbis, or the big sheikhs. there were bigger constructs that he dealt with. He gave us hints and clues in certain areas, but the local imams are responsible for teaching the very basics, and many of the local imams on the job training in terms of learning this, along with their family and work pursuits, they were not being paid to be imam, and so there was really a shortfall amongst many of the imams not giving their communities the foundation of knowledge in terms of the way we've come into Al-Islam. And I'll stop that. You know, saying what I said, it's easy for us to see, you know, what these young imams are doing. And they're dealing with the same trust issues that us older men and women call pioneers. We're still dealing with issues of trust because of our social conditioning among, you know, being made Negroes. And I'll stop there. We got a guest. We got a caller in the queue as well.
Okay, and let's go to our caller. State your name, where you're calling from, and be concise. Be very concise with what you're presenting, because we want to cover some ground today.
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Bilal. Alhamdulillah. I'm thankful to Allah for what I heard just recently on the program. So alhamdulillah. Look, Imam Muhammad has stated that he didn't teach the students that he left that went out there, the young ones, Rashad and different ones. He didn't give it to us. He said, because that wasn't what his focus was, but that ain't what he had to do. That wasn't his mission. He said, but he sent them out, and he said, they got it. And he said, we should get that from them. And look, we were listening to Imam Muhammad, and he was dealing with us and the fact that about how we should be as an association, right? Now, we have to make another step, and that step is towards what our young people are bringing us, the different things that Imam Muhammad didn't give us as far as the basic tenets of the religion is concerned. He said, you know, we need to get that. And so get into these classes, learn what you have to learn from that, or do independent studies on it, but learn it so you can be in step. And then that way it won't be a big battle going on. Let me tell you something. We cannot continue to come on AM 360 and then have a program and still emphasize a division between us and our brothers and sisters from overseas. We cannot continue to do that. It'd be the same as the blackness thing is concerned, because we're not going farther. You see, there's a lot of great things that's available to us. Imam Muhammad also told the student to make a relationship with I think Malaysia, India, Pakistan, and Morocco, and different places like that. And these people actually Rashad and them, the brother you tell me, they went over there, and the minister, I think, of education, everything, they asked them what they want for teaching and development and things of concern. And see, we have to go in on and reach out there. I know many of us got hurt here in America because of the time came when we seemed like they wanted to come and take over our communities and teach us the religion, disrespecting us in it. But see, we have to, let's move forward towards the Muslim that practicing their deen like the ways they should have to practice it, and get with them and be victorious in that arena. You know, just like we want to stop the talk of blackness on the radio, let's stop that talk of disunity amongst of what they want to do to us and how they feel about us. You know, let's go on and just push forward. You know, and leave that alone. We want the sacred unity. We have to have it as an ummah. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for that, Bilal. I wanted to share some things on just that topic. I wanted to share some things on just that topic, things that I'm experiencing here in Melbourne in my community here. Yesterday, I usually set up my little sales thing with the black seed oil outside the masjid, and you know, I'll be selling, and I'm attracting young people. You know, young people, I seem to have a magnet for that. Allah just seems to bless me with that ability to relate to younger people. And I had several came to me yesterday that I had to do some mentoring right while I was selling. And one of the young persons, he had a serious, he was going through some serious emotional and mental challenges. Two of them, matter of fact. One of them was concerned that he had embraced Islam in 2013, and he didn't feel he had progress as a Muslim, and he wanted to know more about Islam and et cetera, et cetera. You know, we are in the process of setting up classes for that purpose again. We've had them before. We had let them go where we are setting up classes now to teach the Quran orientation on the basics of Islam, Aqidah, and the far obligations in Islam, the five obligations and the things of belief, et cetera, the basics. Imam Omar Shakir out of Texas, San Antonio, I think he is, and he does a program the first Saturday, the first Sunday at 12 noon on AM 360, the basics of Islam. He does an excellent job with that, and he has developed material, and I recommend anyone point to that, because it's on Facebook, it's on, he's streaming it, it's public, and it's on AM 360 in the archives, where he goes through all the basics of Islam. He does an excellent job. And, you know, so I'm using some of his curriculum. I said, well, let me just use his curriculum, because, you know, he's working on that. He's doing excellent. So I'm pointing young people to that. Take a look at this Imam Omar Shakir. Take a look at his program, his program, The Basics of Islam. And that's and he has designed it for also where if you are experienced Muslim, you're going to find tidbits, information that will enhance you, that will enhance your own knowledge. Even if you think you know Islam, you're going to find more and more benefit. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. But our young people are very interested in knowing this religion, and they have a need for mentoring in some cases. They need, you know, you have a society here where our young people, especially the young men, have mostly been deprived of fathers in their lives. And through various reasons, many broken families, broken homes, prison, all of these things working against them being in prison, they come out with knowledge that's not maybe beneficial to them as well as it should be. So we have a real challenge as Muslims to present this religion. And to do that, we have to utilize all of the things at our disposal. And certainly let's point out these leaders that we have in our society who have developed in this new mind earlier Imam Muhammad was talking about how we need to look at what God has blessed us with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, because there is a new mind. And we have a diverse community here in Melbourne that has all of the things Bilal mentioned, for people from Pakistan, from Palestine, from Saudi, from Africa, Malaysia, Indonesia. You know, you just so many areas I could name. People are here. They come here for this, for the college experience, and as a result, they stay in this community from time to time. And we have that type of diversity. So we don't have the opportunity to look at life or religion in a narrow perspective from a black perspective. We look at religion here from a human perspective. How do you relate to humanity with this religion? And I want to say one thing here. When we talk about a philosopher for life, we are talking about language. We are talking about language. And you know, Imam Kareem mentioned a lot this morning. I would reference people who may be having some concerns about this or maybe not understanding what we are saying. Just have a take a review of his program as well. It's in the archive. You'll be able to go back and listen to some of the things he addressed. And this is my statement, and this is what I heard Imam Muhammad say years ago. Let what you approve of state what you disapprove of. You don't have to go always saying you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you don't do this, you need to do this, you need to. No, just state what Al-Islam is, and let what the religion of Al-Islam is tell others what they have is not Al-Islam. Right, so just that's how we have to do. Have positive language. Don't go criticizing everybody. Just have positive language. Let people know what Al-Islam is, and that's where we are missing. When we talk about unity, you don't build unity with criticism. You can't do it. People just shut you off. They shut you off, and they well should. Well, sure, because if you are spewing rhetoric that doesn't promote healthy life and progress, you're wasting time. You're wasting time. So, Michael, share some thoughts, if you will.
I really appreciate that. And I'm going to have to say a balance has to be reached, because I'm aware personally, as an imam in Birmingham back in the early 80s, of elements in the Muslim community worldwide. And the issue is still going on. I went to Birmingham because properties were being lost, because imams were accepting contracts with governments to give monies, but there were strings attached. Mm-hmm. And the string had to do with those Islamic centers and masjids coming under the governmental sway of, mm-hmm. of those. You know, there's a group, a large group within the Islamic community that majors in minors. And there's also within that environment, there's a jealousy, and among some, even an anger. I heard some of that expressed by an individual on William Kareem's program. This guy was talking about a tsunami overtaking the Thanksgiving Day parade. You know, I mean, it's crazy, you know. unstable kind of comments that he was making, and Brother William Kareem was correcting him, you know.
Yeah.
And so I would like to say in conclusion of these remarks, and I'm getting some feedback from you, Brother Imam, some background noise.
Okay, I'll watch it. Go ahead. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so the concluding remark I want to make is that because of numerous complex issues and not so complex issues, we really need to take our time in addressing this idea of a philosophy, a unifying philosophy for us moving forward. The environment that we live in challenges us. We don't have the kind of respect for leadership and followership that we once had, even in the family, you know. So I'll stop there. And we do have a caller, Imam Kareem.
Okay. And Imam Kareem, if you would hold, let us take a brief break, and I want to give you adequate time to express what you need to express. So give us 1 minute. We're going to take a pause for the calls, and then we'll be right back. So you're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, Establishing Strategies for Sacred Unity is the topic today. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sewer Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
We're back.
All right. Thank you, Michael, for those inspiring PSA, public service announcements. Welcome, caller. State your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, a member of the El Mukminun Islamic Center. Later, St. Louis. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome, Imam. Welcome.
Yes, you know, you are really hit with that sacred unity. You have to know the audience that you're speaking to. I was somewhat criticized on the air. I co-host the broadcast, The Female Solution. And I am aware that the majority of the audience are Christian and others.
Yeah.
So I give the principles. I give the principle that my religion expresses. And no one has come against that. No one has challenged me on the air No one has said, oh, no, that's no, brother, you're wrong. The majority is I receive agreement with what I share. But what I'm sharing is coming as principles contained in the Quran, the life of our Prophet Muhammad, and the understanding of Imam Waqiduddin Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, look, you don't have to even mention my name. Just tell the people the truth.
Yeah.
That's all. Just tell them the truth. So one brother come on and say, look, you're a Muslim imam. You should end this here like you would at Juma.
Yeah.
You know. But I'm aware of the audience that I'm addressing. And and it is congruent. The principles enunciated are agreeable with them. They recognize that. I haven't had anyone come on to discount anything that I've said, but it's not necessary that I say, well, yeah, in the Holy Quran chapter so-and-so, ayat. Now, you are getting ready to lose half of your audience because of the environment that has been created around our religion. When you begin to use Islamic terminology that they don't understand, you sound foreign to them. You sound like the other. So we have to be wise. We have to be wise in explaining our religion and in our interaction with other people.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to
say that. In the Quran, ma'am. That's an ayat in the Quran. Invite the people to Al-Islam with wisdom and beautiful talk, with beautiful talk, and hikmah with wisdom, you know, and argue with them in ways that are best. You know, be generous and kind in how you are addressing people. You know, these are things that Allah has given us keys. These are keys that he has given us that can develop this life we want for humanity. Go ahead.
No problem, my brother. My last statement on the previous broadcast was that we are to follow the Prophet Muhammad's sunnah. But his sunnah derived from his uswa, his character.
Yeah.
So what, you are doing things that he did, but what character are you bringing with that? You know? So anyway, I'll just stop right there. But we have to be wise in our interaction with other people.
We are developing Allah's deen, Allah's way on this planet, and he is the creator of all. You know, we have this diversity. We have a big, what you just mentioned, is that it's part of the diverse humanity that we are addressing. And that's the uniqueness that we have to bring to this religion. We have to recognize that we have that type of responsibility, not to be so narrow in our perspective. Yes. That's our mission, what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
We don't have a meth-have. We don't have a specific meth-have that we are following. We study those meth-haves. And inshallah, we are developing a new way of thinking here in this society. Yes. And what we are talking about, this is a new mind. This is a new mind.
Right.
We have another
old school.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
So call us, Stacey, anywhere you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We are discussing developing the sacred unity, strategies for developing a sacred unity.
314-327. Welcome.
Alaykum as-salam.
This is 314?
Yes.
Yes, we hear you. Yes.
Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to go back to that
Rashid
right now.
Yes,
Rashid. Yeah.
Hey, I... Brother Man was taking the words out of my mouth, you know, being that we are a new creation. That means we have a new behavior. And sometimes I think if we want unity to take place, if we want people to really pay attention, just be who you say you are. Sometimes the language speaks for itself. Your actions and deeds speak for itself. I work with a large group of people throughout the country. 90% of people I do business with are not Muslim. And they call me. They call me to help and assist them with things that they're doing, from prison reentry to workforce development programs and talking to young kids on diversionary programs in the juvenile hall. They don't call me because I'm a Muslim. They call me because the behavior, the information that I provide them with is Islamically based, and I don't have to say anything other than do and be what I'm supposed to be. So it's important that we as Muslims understand that we're dealing with a community who's looking at us. They're paying attention to us. But if we're going to give a language that's outside of what they can see or understand, we'll have difficulty converting them. Or, I know we can't convert anyone. Having a difficulty for them to want to listen and be a part of what we do. It's an interactive, interrelated concept. And we're going to have to understand that that's what it's going to take for us to bring our people under this fold. We are in trouble mentally. We are in trouble physically in this country. Until we get those two things, the mind and the brain, to work together, we're not going to have any much success in carrying out our mission. I just want to say that. And thank you so much, Brother Imam, for saying what you said, because it's definitely something we need to pay attention to. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Yes, Rashid is a very, very busy person, and he does work with so many different people with different ways of thinking, and this is the religion. This is the beauty of Al-Islam. This is the beauty of Al-Islam, and you know, Allah talks about it as the middle way, the middle course. And you know, I like to define this wasata, this the religion of the middle. Balance, like a scale. If you know the old type of scales where they have the two sides hanging, you put some weight on this side and you put some weight on that side and you make it balance out. And then that's everybody is satisfied. Oh, that's my right proportion. It's in the right proportion. That's what Al-Islam is. This religion should be able to attract a person who wants to pray and worship constantly. He just wanna be close to his creator, close to his Lord. He should be able to look at Al-Islam and see how the prayer is established, the worship of Allah is established, the ability and the emphasis that's put on the importance of prayer five times a day, tarawih prayers during Ramadan, tahajjud prayers at night, Duha, the prayer after the sunrise, after Fajr. You know, just look at all the opportunities that you have to pray, to be spiritual. But you also have established prayers, Fajr, Duha, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. That's an obligation on you. That's an obligation. Now, all the other ones I mentioned, there's things that you can do at your own discretion, you know, but these five basics, Allah has given us those as an obligation, and they have specific reasons for whether to be where they are, Fajr before the dawn, Duhur slightly after the noon, Asr mid-afternoon, Maghrib after the sun has set, Isha after the dawn. They have specific positions in the global, in the circular nature of the planet. And we are required to accommodate that. But we also have, if we feel we got time, we can do some extra stuff. And there's plenty of opportunities and plenty of demonstrations from our prophet on how that's to be done. Not nobody guessing how you can do it. You can do your own du'as as well when you want to. Sit and ride and lean on your side, et cetera, et cetera. Fear. We have the fear prayer. If you can't make your prayer in public at the time it's due. You can pray riding. You can make that prayer still. You can make it. Allah gives you plenty of reasons and plenty of space to realize your religion. And now that's on the spiritual side. But now what about the material person, the one who wants to be a worker? He wants to produce from the earth. He wants that material progress. He should be able to look at this religion, Al-Islam, and say, wow, that religion is best for me. I can work with that. I can work with that. So this is that. This is the religion we have. We don't have this religion where it's just one-sided. It's a balance. There's a balance to it. You know, it's given in Surah Shams, where it says, Elhamma hath, Fujura hath, Wataqwa. Fujura is an expression of the person, Allah swearing by this fact that this religion has the capability for a person who wants to go out and expand, but also it's taqwa. It has the ability for a person who wants to ascend up and be straight up, Ibrahim Hanif, the inclination to be straight up. And it uses the term that in this phrase that zakah is used for the soul. He who cultivates the soul certainly succeeds, and he who fails to cultivate it is a failure. He is going to fail. So there's a balance here. That's important, and I think we have to look at how to utilize just what God has given us to reach the goals we want to reach. So I just wanted to share that aspect, and Michael, please share with us if you have any callers. Please welcome them.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Like I say, what we're talking about is not something that we need to rush. Because we're dealing with, in terms of communication, we're dealing with a hostile environment, language environment, an oppressive language environment that affects, it's just like static on the line, static on your phone line or static on the radio or television. You know, there's a distortion because of the environment. And so in communication, they say, that the initial or the first presentation, the receivers only get maybe 25%. So repetition, we see the most excellent educational presentation is the Quran and how it uses questions, it uses narratives, it uses picture language, you know, and the Prophet has done the same. Because that's the earlier environment of our learning and understanding the world that we live in. You know, even in the public elementary schools, you know, they have pictures of apples and, you know, and other kinds of pictures, and they point to that, and then they may put the word, you know, a dog, you know, and they show a dog, D-O-G. And so, you know, where did they get that from? That's the nature in which Allah created us. You know, they got it from Allah's fitra, know? So, you know, again, God tells us, and this keeps pressing my soul. God says, look, I created you and you're hasty and you're forgetful. Hasty, forgetful, and the shaitan is so well aware of that. So he floods the environment with information overload to affect us. Yeah. He puts retarded ideas, you know, Allah tells us about gharur, you know, that the surface picture, the picture of, let's say a tree, and looking at it on the surface, it's deceptive. But when you look into the inner, what is it? You got form and you got function. The form can be deceiving. And that's what Satan has relied upon. You know, Humpty Dumpty, went up the hill or whatever, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, and these ideas given to us early on, not like Aesop's fables where you got animals describing human functions and human sensitivities and the like. No, this world gives us retarding ideas early on, you know, Santa Claus, you know, and other pictures that don't make sense. Superman, you know, I'm reading a book by Dr. Mubashir Ukda dealing with the Hadith, the body of Hadith, and how that body, it's 40 metaphorical Hadith with explanations. And he uses insight of the Imam, but he also, you know, points us to how the Quran utilizes those, how God Most High utilizes picture language to restart us where we begin, and then in the process take us to more abstract ideas, the higher level, you know, of knowledge and the utility of that knowledge. And I'll stop there. We've got a recall.
Yes, so let's go to our caller. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Alhamdulillah. You know, when you look at prayer, you know, we have a leap and we have the prayer. And just imagine you would be in a position to be able to make prayer on time when you want to make it, when it come in. And see, this give us the thought of having what? Business. Okay, the second principle of the principle of zakat. The 2.5 we should have over what we have. Here it is. I don't even qualify for zakat yet. See, Allah actually give us the urge to establish business inside of what we do in the principles of the religion, and so that is a natural thing inside of the human being that He put there. Anyway, you see, so we be feeling short on certain things because of the fact that we're not educated enough, or we haven't given ourselves over enough to the urge, the natural urges in ourselves, and that causes not to be put in a position where we can establish family life. And don't you know that Satan's big area for destroying humanity is to what it to destroy family life. And you look around and you see what the economists, and we know the fact that lack of finances is one of the most prominent things in destroying family life, or not even having it established. You know, so praise be to Allah for the principles of religion. The principles which is designed for us to be victorious as human beings, serving our God, serving our creation, you know. And I know, let me tell you something, it's not a good thing when you're not married and you're not able to get married. So yes, praise be to Allah.
So we want
to get there. We want to get there, and we want to have a strong community that be able to reproduce and continue to have generation to generation coming up and push and moving forward this religion. If you don't have no family lives, you don't have no children, come on.
Yeah.
Common sense.
But you know,
praise me,
but you know the other aspect of what you said is being able to face the challenges of difference, diversity. Facing the challenge of diversity. This is where we are having conflict in our association with each other. We are not respecting the diversity that God has given us. And I appreciate, Michael, when you mentioned about the other aspect of having the balance, taking a balanced look at it in terms of sometimes you need to be aware that there are people who will do you harm But you're not supposed to let that potential for disappointment and whatnot divert you from the main goal of unity, being together. Because that Allah says he has created us different that we may get to know one another. And that's the key. You know, I want to look at someone else and see that they are different from me and I'm different from them. And they have a contribution to make that they bring to the table. They bring a different perspective than I have. And when I hear their perspective and bounce it off of my own thinking, I'm increased. I have an increase yes. now because I have more than just my own thinking to deal with. And your own thinking can get you into big trouble.
Yes.
So when you don't have the opportunity to have to respect others in your environment, you can come up with a lot of things. I remember my wife. She was making comments on her program. Courtship program. I can't think of it right now. My mind is
racing. Courtship with marriage.
How she mentioned one time when you're by yourself, you know, you don't have to worry about whether your opinion is the right one because that's the only one you got. You know, that's the only one you got. And I heard Imam Yahya say one time, he says, if you're sitting in the house looking out a window and a bird come and land on the tree outside your window every day, you could form the opinion that's the only bird in the world until you come out of that, get out of that window and go out. And you gotta see there's a lot of birds out there, you know, and, flying all over the place. But if you don't broaden your perspective, you're gonna be just locked into one perspective. So respecting others, respecting that someone else's opinion is valid and good. This is Shura now. This is how you conduct Shura. By the way, I'm a chairman of our Shura here at the Masjid. So I have to listen to a lot of different opinions and then allow people to give their opinion and to keep their opinion from being criticized by others. That's one of the things I try to do when don't address this person, just address the Shura. You have an idea. If you think it's better, then you give your idea, but don't criticize the other person's idea, right? Because that's his opinion. Now, what is your opinion? You know, why do you have to feed off of his opinion to have an opinion, right? Give your opinion. So this part of Shura is respecting each other when we sit together. And Allah says in the Quran, consulting among yourselves. That's the language used. You know, I was corrected when I was saying consulting with each other. No, it's consulting among yourselves. It's for us to sit down and have this discussion among ourselves and listening to each other. That's how we do it. And when we bring this type of thinking, we are respecting each other. I heard one brother, we was at a meeting once, and we were lined up. It's straight. He said he walked in the room, and he was Afrocentric, by the way. He said, right now you are sitting, you're disrespecting each other. You're looking at each other's back. You should be in a circle, a halakha. You know, the circle in Islam is designed for us to be able to see each other, not to be looking at the back of each other. You know, we sit in that circle. We see each other. And we share our ideas there. And nobody is looking at anybody's back. That's the beauty of a circle, that you are looking at everyone. Everyone sees everyone. There's no There's no shady hands brought into the play there, you know. So these kind of concepts, these concepts can improve our quest for a sacred unity. Yes, Michael.
We have two callers.
Yes, callers. Let's go to our callers. State your name and where you're calling from.
914-434-3434. Welcome.
It's Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Yes, Muhammad, welcome.
Okay, thank you. I'll probably take about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, if that's okay then. What if, y'all have probably heard me say this a few times, where you now, Muhammad, said back in 1999, the Nasir Bilal in Cleveland. He said, sister, this is your day. It's not your day because we men don't deserve it. It's your day because you deserve it more than we deserve it. It's only our day, brothers, if we support them, the sisters. You want to get your day back? Support our women. Support our learned women. That's capital letters, L-E-A-R-N, support our learned women. Hey, sisters, I'm prepared to follow a female. It is my pleasure to follow a female leader. And then Nam goes on to say a lot of things in reference to this, but I just want to bring that out, what Nam said almost 25 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And now, we have been looking at political arena. There are two people that's running for president right now, a coming election. President Biden, he already told us what he's going to do if he gets reelected. He's going to continue to support Israel with finances, military equipment, technology, all of that until the Palestinians are wiped out. That's what he said. Now, other person, Trump, you know, he has said what he's going to be. He's going to complete what Hitler tried to do. He's going to be a world dictator. So now we don't have a choice. Well, we didn't have a choice. And now, Brother Michael, I think Michael on the program, I thank him for helping me along in my thoughts concerning a female. At this point, I was saying, you know, we got to put our own people in office now. I had named out a few sisters. Sister Amma II, I'm Ronnie. He started out with the man back in 1975 when he became leadership. He helped to bring the males from saying minister, calling themselves ministers, to imam. Now, I see you back reading the paper again. And Sister Martha of Community-Wide Syrial Conference. There's a picture of Muhammad. Now, here's up this Sadi al-Islam. The lady of Muhammad, you know, the daughter of Imam W.D. Muhammad's daughter. Aisha, editor of the Muslim Journal. And Wazir, she writes an article in the paper concerning insurance and money matters. Now I've talked to a brother that's on a program National Concern. He's coming out of California. I was talking to him and telling the same thing I'm saying now. He said, Brother Kareem here on the program, he had mentioned Cornel West. I said, that's a thought. And then I get a magazine because I could subscribe to a lot of magazines and you think that thing. In the February, March issue of Forbes magazine, they got an issue on Cornel West. It said, Why Cornel West is Broke. He got about a 3-page article on him. He got some of the women that are with him that he was married to. It's quite a bit, so I was trying to say, anyone, you can get that February, March issue of Forbes magazine and read it for yourself. Now,
give us a brief analysis of what you saw.
And we have another caller.
Yeah.
Oh, we do have another caller.
Take a minute and share with us. And then wrap it up. 1 minute.
Basically, what they were saying here
They're saying how many times he's been married, relationships, and women in his life and all that. I said maybe they are trying to carry him in the area of morality or something like that. But then I spoke to a brother a couple of days ago. He said Cornel West, his running mate, become vice president. Her name is Amelia Abdullah. Amelia Abdullah. You can go online and put in her name, A-M-E-L-L-I-N-A, Abdullah. And I will bring you up and tell something about her. She's going to be Cornel West's running mate for vice president.
Okay, thank you, Mom. I appreciate that.
And let us know that there's another source that we got now.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
You're
quite
welcome.
Thank you, Muhammad. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
So let's go to our next caller. Yes, sir.
Alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Looks like my classmate here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Delacy Umar, and to you, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, then to my classmate, brother.
Yeah, we are missing Professor today, Mark.
The professor's not there today. Okay,
yeah,
so
Okay,
I tuned in a little late, obviously, but I just want to first. I agree with what brother Muhammad Sharif just said, and to be mindful of that because. You know, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end, because it is the mother leadership that all of us have. We have to acknowledge that this is an honor and distinction that Allah has given to the mother, not only to be the first teacher, but the first leader. And if there ever was a time that we should hear the mother nature and voice, in the human society for bringing morality into policy and all of that, it is now. You know, so I agree 100% with Imam Muhammad. And, you know, that goes to what you brought up, Imam Delacy Umar, what Brother Michael said in terms of Amarhum Shurbanahum. This is instructions from Allah. You know, how to construct a life, and the prerequisites for that is mutual respect. You know, my mother used to say, and you probably heard it too, two heads is better than one. Well, if you take that logic, if two heads is better than one, then what about three, four, or more? In coming to the conclusion of deriving the best thereof. And I think that when you actually are practicing sure as Allah intended, you can't be egotistical or egocentric. You have to check your ego. You may come to the table with a good idea, but just like you say, Imam Delacy, you're the chairperson there where you are, and you have to listen to everybody, because Imam Muhammad said to really have sure everybody should have a voice. They should have a voice. And it should be respected in that regard. And after you mutually consult among yourselves in regards to whatever the issue of matter is, now you have to come to a consensus. And that may not be the end of the sure, because anything that will affect the community directly or indirectly, you can bring a consensus that those representatives of the Jamaat to them, but then for the confirmation or ratification of that, for application of that, has to go to them in that regard. It is a principle and a process as is being introduced in the Quran, but it shows that the prerequisites is that you have to have mutual respect. And then if it's specific, then you need to have those minds there that have the experience, the expertise, the knowledge in that to get the best results the best solutions for issues or whatever it is that you're addressing. So this is something I think that needs to be discussed even more so that we can really benefit from what it is that Allah is giving to us for the construction of every aspect of human life. I could say more, but I stopped. I think I said enough in regards to that. I'm just agreeing with you in that regard, but you can follow the logic in that, and you can't be egotistical. You know, it wouldn't matter. I even heard Imam Muhammad say that if we have young people and we see they've grown to the point and see the potential in them, they should be sitting in on Shura, should be sitting at the table. We should listen to them. So you have to be humble to be able to do that. You can't be egotistical. You can't come as if though you have all the answers and all the solutions. You may have a good solution, but somebody else could have one better. And then after you finish, you want to select what is best. I'll stop there. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
it's excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah. And you know, I want to say, you know, we are looking at these concepts in light of developing a sacred unity. I want to keep that idea foremost in our minds because this is where we have missed the mark. We've missed the mark in creating the unity we need to be successful, you know, where we care about each other, where we respect each other, where we want to be with each other. You know, we have a attitude sometimes, and I watch it in the masjid when they're, after the prayer is over, we be taking off. One guy go this way, one go this way. And if I stop someone, well, where are you going? I'm gonna do that. He ain't really got nowhere to go, really. But we just can't be in an environment that where progress and potential success is there. We look like we run from it. Just get away. Let me get out of here. You know. And if there are positive people, I have some friends. You know, they look like they run from me. I do be trying to drop some hikmah every night. I be trying to be modest, you know, and not be too overbearing, you know. I skip a lot of stuff, but I want to say this. This Ramadan, I had being patient as my objective. I was asking Allah to give me more patience, to make me more patient, to make me be more tolerant, you know, to just let me be a little less critical of situations, et cetera, et cetera. That was my objective in this fast. You know, I didn't want to get into no debates about this. Nobody did this, and what are you going to do about it? I didn't want to solve no problems. I just wanted to be patient, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
Alhamdulillah. I want to go back to the mother leadership and the picture of women for thousands of years has been one of being in unequal, certain connotations about the female nature and character. You know, we hear language like chaotic and whatnot right in the 21st century here in conversations on YouTube. I hear the woman being called chaotic, you know, emotional. But it's never within the context of respecting her in the social life as an equal. You know, there were times when it was said of women that they didn't have souls, just like black folks. And I understand the nature of that word too. But anyway, sometimes I use it for effect. But Allah is very much aware. He lets us know about
the nature, you know, and there's not a lot said about it. He gives us a picture of the Queen of Sheba, Bilkis, she's called, and how her leadership structure is, you know, and it's said, it's emphasized her dependence on her men of strength in Shura Benahu, that the men of strength, you know, help her and guide her and direct her, you know, in her decision making. So this is well needed, and we have to bring that into the conversation of a sacred unity. You know, the Shaitan, with the picture of Pharaoh being one who sets up a social order of class distinctions, and we have that today. And the sensitivities of, well, you know, he didn't go to the same school or type of school I went to. He drives a lesser car. You know his accent is different. I mean, and I'm bringing this up, you know, to emphasize a point. See, even in the prayer, and I don't know what these folks are thinking, but they're from different countries, and they find it difficulty to follow the order of the Salat by being close shoulder to shoulder. They want to be distant. They don't want to touch your shoulder, you know? And I've experienced this, you know, and I don't make a big deal out of it. I just say, well, I'm dealing with an ignorant believer. You know, that's how I form it, frame it. He don't know that there's a discipline. These guys, when they stand up before the Muezzin says, Qad Qamat Salat, they don't understand the discipline, you know, is necessary. You don't stand before you're told to stand. And that's important. It may seem like a small thing, but this is the way some of those that have been in the religion, I'm going to call them our big brothers, you know that they've come to not regard and pay less attention to those things that have a logic to them. Yeah. When you're told to stand, if you're already standing, there's something wrong with that picture.
Yes. I have some friends. We sat on the back row. We are seniors, and sometimes it's hard for us to be on the floor long periods. But we can get down there and pray, of course. But we can't. And myself personally, I can't stay down there on the floor on my knees for a long period, or sit comfortably on the floor. So I sit in the chair. Then when I pray, I do my sujood, everything there. But then I get up.
Yes.
So if I stay on my knees, I'm going to have pain, you know.
Same here.
So, alhamdulillah. But we do that. We sit, tell Kut Kama Tisalat. It said, then we get up and we go get in the line, you know. And I think that's the way you have to do things. You have to set examples, you know, of how that works. And for the young, when you're teaching prayer, that should be taught. Yeah, those things shouldn't be overlooked. What you just said is so profound and important that you have that perspective. And it means following the leader. When imams stand, then you know they stand because they're following the imam. But also there's a muezzin that has to give you the command. So go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and it's the environment, and the sensitivities. You know, Satan is a subtle son of a gun. You know, and you know he structures language, not just in terms of words, but he structures a language that's so inviting. You know, we want to be Muslims, and we want the cultural expression, and our big brothers, you know, they represent, you know, dress and whatnot that you know, at first glance, oh, this is connected with the religion. But there's deeper understanding that I think the young people are yearning for. Like, it's not just knowing how to pray, but it's also having that other side, that material side of social obligation There's something in the soul of many of us that says there's something I got to do. I have to understand what my assignment is, and once I see some of what my assignment is, you know, how can I do more? You know, and these young people, you know, there's an urge in all of our souls, you know, and the young people coming to Al-Islam, they don't need to be given the minor representations. They need to be aware that that exists throughout the Muslim world. But there's a more foundational meaning, not just in terms of the rituals, but in terms of the obligation to remake the world.
Alhamdulillah. So let's take a break, Michael, please, and we'll pause for the calls here.
Okay.
You're listening to Prepare.
We've got about three more minutes, man.
Oh, wow. We done exhausted this time.
Yes,
let's inshallah, Michael. I guess we better end the program, and we can end it with a public service announcement. And go ahead and make some final comments, if you would, and make dua for us for ending this program, and then let's go to a station break. Inshallah. Yes.
Well,
let me just thank the audience first for those who made comments, and remind you that this, as Michael said, we're gonna circle back on this topic because it's a big topic. Strategies for developing a sacred unity is what we are talking about. Inshallah. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, and I'd like to say in regards to that, it's foundational. And we see it in other people. We're not so, you know, they're not so open in the Asian community to show us how that's represented. But you know, it has to be there because that's foundational for any group of people to have this idea of a sacred unity that holds them together. We saw it amongst the Jewish people and how effective they had been. In terms of this unity, you know, even though there were those who were not practicing Jews and, you know, those that had ideas that were not in the foundational presentation of Judaism, but they identified themselves and they held on to a unity among the Jewish community. Lately, we see in the Spanish community, this idea of mi familia, my family, and being a fundamental principle of their unity and their social progress. So it's very important. It's not something that we need to rush over. You know, it's something that we need to get it. And we won't get it on one or two presentations because we've got internal, I'm going to say it, we've got internal and external opposition or
opponents.
we've got an energy that's
the devil himself.
To the energy.
We got the Shaitan himself.
Yeah,
he wants
you know
us
what
divided.
They say, man.
Yeah.
You know what they say. The devil's in the details.
Yes, sir. All right, Michael. Please close. I don't want to infringe on my brother's coming up time and sisters, whatever we have there. Who we have coming next? Imam Kareem, he's back?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. And we're right at the top of the hour.
Yes, sir. Make dua and get us
so
out.
So we'll say, Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save and bless us in whatever you give us. Deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Ameen. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.